Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We're now inaugurating a portion of our program. This is called You're Now Allowed to Call and Talk to Phil. Now, this is a very rare thing indeed on our program. We do this a few times a week, but this is the portion of the program that we set aside for you to be allowed to call in and talk to me. And our number again is 1-800-449-8686. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by the Communist Party of America. Communism, it's still very hip. Don't let anybody kid you. It is the hippest thing. A lot of things going on in the program today. We made fun of breast cancer. We blamed NASCAR for the crazy-ass driving up there in Santa Barbara. We were waxing nostalgic about the burning of the Bank of America in Santa Barbara. And we talked about a guy dancing with my wife and having his hands on her ass. There's a lot of things to sink your teeth into tonight. The other thing was we had a casino night at the kids' school the other night. We went and, you know, these casino nights. Now, these are a bunch of Catholics getting together and raising money for the school, right? So we all go over there and, well, naturally there was a bar. And, okay, sue me, I had a drink. Okay, I had two. Three. All right, they were hurricanes. And so anyway, I sat down and I played this Caribbean stud poker. Maybe you've heard of Caribbean stud poker, maybe you haven't. But what happens in this game is stud poker, you know, you get five cards, you take a look at your hand. If it's any good, then you put it out there, right? You bet it. Well, the dealer has got to, I don't know what the hell the dealer's got to do. He's got to qualify with an ace king. Make a long story short, three hurricanes later, I lost $3,000 worth of play money. Yeah. Three hurricanes later, I was on my rear end. You can't beat that. You know, why is it that Catholics are the only Christians that have any kicks at all with that booze thing? I mean, you know, and by that I mean, you know, do they serve drinks at other Christian events? They don't, do they? You ought to know, Craig, because you grew up in a kind of a Bible thump thing, didn't you, for a while? What the hell is it with Catholics, man? We don't mind bellying up to the bar a little bit. And the priest comes walking through there. How are you? Hey, Father, how you doing?
I'm great, and let me bless your table.
Nomine Patris, Spiritus, Spiritus Sancti, amen. And then, you know, and one of those things that you've seen so many times, I'm sure, in your life, when someone has had so much to drink that they'll say to you, they'll see you across the room, all right, and you're sitting there, and you, I know we've all seen this a million times, and your friend sees you, and they say, hey! Phil! And they don't start walking toward you, they start walking sideways. They want to get to you, but they're walking sideways, you know? Hey, Phil! You're over here. According to Melissa, Baptists not only don't drink, they won't make love standing up, lest someone think they might be dancing, which is also against their religion. That's great. I don't know anything about that. I know Melissa comes from Kentucky, where, you know, it's a beautiful thing over there, Kentucky. We're from California, and but you know what, Melissa? You've moved to the right city because this is the capital of nutcase religion, as we all know. And this is where it all started back in the 20s. A lot of these nutcases came out here, and I don't know whether the tax laws were liberal or whatever, but Amy Semple McPherson, you ever heard of her? She started here. She wandered out into the ocean. They never found her. You know about that? She was some case, real whack job. She'd get up and preach to everybody, and they loved her. She was on the radio, and then one day she split, and they said the last thing they saw was she was going out to the... I don't know if she's dead or not. I don't know. They never did find a body. Isn't that right? So, yeah, this casino night, I don't know how much money they raised for this thing, and we got in the car, we drove home, everything was cool, all right? I'm just playing a little bit. But the fact of the matter remains that they took me down for $3,000 in play money. Somebody is going to pay. I got hosed real good. 1-800-449-8686. You're now allowed to talk to me and talk to me about some of the things that are on your mind. What's the matter, Mike? The calls suck? Mike Schaefer, my producer's telling me these calls that we're getting tonight ain't no good. This is your opportunity to call in, ask me about the show, comment about some of the things you've heard. But you know what? We ain't just going to take any calls, so I don't know what to tell you. This is going to be a tough one. This is going to be dicey. We just don't put any phone call on the air around here. However, we are allowing you today and today only, this hour only, at 1-800-449-8686 to call the Phil Henry Show, try to get on the air, get past our screening process, and say something interesting, informative, perhaps ask an interesting question, tell us an interesting anecdote, something having to do perhaps with, and there's only 48 minutes remaining on your opportunity to call Phil. See, this came about, I said to them, you know, I'm going to get the guys to call in, the listeners to call, but I'm not going to do some comb-over boy bit, and I ain't going to do, you know, radio as usual, in other words. I'm not going to do that pedestrian bullcrap. So we set aside an hour. Melissa said, well, how about if we allow them to call you in the 6 o'clock hour or the last hour? I said, that's fine, but they got to be good. So right now we've put the phone number out there, and the board is full of calls, but apparently my producer, Mike Schaefer, just can't get anything going. Are people that dull? Are you guys that dull? Are you that dull? Well, here we go. Here's one. Hey, Dean, how you doing? I wasn't talking about you. Hey, Dean?
Yes,
how you doing? I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, I knew that. I'm just picking up there. I wasn't sure you got to me. Hey, we love your show. Been listening to you all
Well, you don't have to say
now.
That. You don't have to say that.
Okay, well, I don't care. It's the truth.
Rochester,
anyway,
where are you?
What I was going to tell you, your show tonight on the NASCAR... You wouldn't believe how close you are to the realistic is.
Of the what? Of the guys, these nuts go out to the 500, they come down, they want to drive through their garage?
Exactly. I'll tell you what, they come out of those races, they hit the interstate system, and if you're an over-the-road trucker running the southern area on the day of the race, good God, man.
Oh, just... you're kidding me.
No, so, man, you... it's a blast. I tell the wife, we run sleeper team. I tell her, if it's race day in the Carolinas, get on the shoulder and get the hell out of their way.
You run what? What did you call that? You run a what?
We're running a sleeper team, man-wife team on a over-the-road
truck. Oh,
I don't
know. Oh, that's interesting. So you and your wife trade off driving and...
Exactly.
You trade off everything, don't you?
Yeah, just about. We've been doing this about 20 years after our girls graduated.
You know, I swear to God, I came out of the Daytona 500 one year. I was at the Daytona 500. Well, first of all, you never take a woman to the infield of the Daytona 500 race. Never. Because just the most grotesque, fat, frightening creeps are out there. But the thing that happened is we got out of the race, and this was back in the day when everybody had a CB. Remember that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh my God, I flipped the CB on it. Oh, you ass-licking, I can't even get into the vile, vulgar, fright. We listened to it for 3 hours. But anyway.
Well, the thing you got to remember about the CB, though, is that the general public brought that vulgar attitude into the...
Well, you guys use it because you have to for your work. No, I understand that. But these were a bunch of creeps coming out of the race, and just... It was scary. It was weird. All right, Dean. Thank you.
All right, what I was going to say to you, Phil...
Oh, you mean that? No,
you're...
No.
I'm so glad you went national.
Well, thank you, pal.
All right.
Bye, buddy.
We love your show.
Right.
Staying with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Get out of here. That cat is from L.A. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And I swear to God, I wish I could describe. I took my girlfriend at the time to the infield of the Daytona 500, and it was just, yeah, baby! I mean, the fat freaking guys with the Confederate flags and, like, human waste in the mud. It was like it wasn't even a civilized scene. I mean, I'm being a little extreme, but it just, and she, of course, real genius, wearing heels. Nice move there. Gwen, wherever you are, baby, that's good. Here is Dana on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
Hi, I didn't hear you call my name.
No problem.
I'm good, you know, but I feel really bad. I'm in Southern California, and I forget that you're national now. I always think you're our guy.
Well, you know what? We don't have to talk about that.
Well,
Who says
no,
we're
I'm
national?
Well, you're all over, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well... Yeah, I'm all over everything. I'm like crap. I'm all over everything.
Well, and thank God for that.
Well, no, I'm just, we're here, and it's you and me, baby.
Well, you must really be hurting if I'm your ace in the hole.
Yeah, well, God, I'm telling you.
But you
I
know,
got that guy from Rochester, and they're doing a double team or whatever the hell it was he was doing
well,
with his wife.
Where the hell
so
did
good.
He come from?
He's okay.
Yeah,
he's all right. He's my man. He was the guy that was hooting at that, okay, go ahead.
My kids are probably going to explode for dinner, so And
what
my
do you
husband's
mean?
Back east for 2 weeks in the freezing cold Boston weather.
Oh, your kids are hungry?
It. Well, they get hungry now and again. I try to, like, wet down their floor and slide them some food.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, hose them off and throw them some red
without
meat.
Without a doubt. Without
Isn't
a doubt.
It funny when kids get hungry, they start screaming and yelling?
They do. They hit you.
Well,
I don't like that.
They hit, you?
They're nasty little things. Well, they run up to you and kind of punch you in your
You know what you do
region.
Then? Dana, you know what you do then? It's really interesting. You unlock the door as you're going down the freeway, and you roll them right out onto the street.
Oh, I've threatened that, and the threats really work. But
I have to
ask you a pressing question so that you can get to your thousands of other calls.
Yeah, I got like I got one. Go ahead.
I'll call back if you want.
No, I got. You know, it's just the thing. It's like, go ahead. I don't want to be rude.
don't be out of character, Phil.
She's basically saying, "Screw you, Phil."
Yeah,
go
yeah,
ahead, Dana.
No, when we first. When you first started, it was right that first Christmas Eve, okay, however many years ago.
Yeah, that was 96.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And
right.
I had, it was Christmas Eve, my kids were in bed, my husband was watching some movie, and I had to make the family Christmas rolls, his family's recipe of not his thing. So I'm up, that was on when you were on at night, and you had a guy who was at LAX. Giving hits of squeeze parquet to fat people.
Liquid butter, yeah,
okay,
Roland Schwinn.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, Roland was dressed as Santa Claus, and he was out saying, because he loved dipping a handkerchief in liquid butter and sucking on it.
Right.
That's how fat he was. And
right.
So he was just grooving it, and he was giving out jars of liquid butter to people.
It was great.
Is
and
it like that?
I can't even think about it without almost wetting my pants.
Maybe we're... Well, that's a very interesting thought. That's a pleasant thought. No, what we're going to do is we're going to give that out every Christmas now, liquid butter.
But you should have him. It should be a Christmas Eve tradition because every Christmas Eve I listen hoping that you're going to do it.
The liquid butter medal? Okay, you know what? We're going to do that now. Then we're going to call it the annual Dana liquid butter giveaway.
Sure.
We are.
Well, I was
you watch
really,
me.
I had just had a baby, so I was, you know.
That's good for a pregnant woman to suck on butter.
And I was, and I was listening to it and just absolutely dying because I could see myself.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you very much. God bless. We'll see you later, kid.
Okay.
Bye. All right, now we're swinging. You're allowed to call me this hour, 1-800-449-8686. Talk to me direct. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, and this is the segment that we call You're Allowed to Talk to Me. 1-800-449-8686. I'd like to talk to a gentleman here on Ford. Is it Gerald? Gerald?
Yeah, that's me, man.
How you doing, Gerald?
Oh, I'm fine, man. I
Welcome
love you,
to
bro.
Our show.
I love you, bro.
Thank you.
You're great. Listen, man.
It's a pretty strong emotion between men, but I'm with you on that.
Well, listen. I just wanted to tell you that it's not going to be as easy for wife to take over rap as they did rock. I remember you said that last week.
Yeah, I don't know. Why do you say that?
Okay, well, listen. Eminem, the reason why he sounds so good and the reason why he's the way he is because of Dr. Dre, a black man who has put him out there.
Interesting.
So there's going to always be somebody. We execute rap. It's not like rock. That's a bunch of guitars. It's hard to be a rapper. That's not an easy thing to do, so they're going to always need us to do that.
Well, now here's the thing. You know, when Elvis got going, he was produced by white people, Sam Phillips.
You're not going to hear white artists.
I don't know, but what if Eminem goes into producing? What if some of the cats, you know, House of Pain? I don't know. You know, I don't know who the strong white rap, you know, Beastie Boys. Of course, those guys, they were never really strong rappers, were they? They were just sort of three-party boys.
Exactly.
Three-party Jews. I'm just kidding.
When we talk about rap music and when we talk about Dr. Dre and all that gangster rap, that is not something that you can just do. It would sound like a Campbell Soup commercial.
What do you mean? What do you mean a Campbell's Soup commercial?
Well, you know, sometimes in the daytime during...
Well, here's the point. Here was the point that I was trying to make, Gerald. I don't mean to interrupt you. Look at it. If Eminem is saying all of these horrific things and, oh, well, you know what? He's really just kidding and we get it. He's clowning. How come the black rappers don't get that same pass card? You know, how come they don't get the pass, go and collect $200?
Because they don't usually sell 8.5 million.
Well, why don't they say they're kidding and they will? All they got to do is, oh, we're just clowning around. Oh, okay. Hell, I thought you really wanted to kill a cop. All right. It's comic relief, you know.
They have their homeboys to deal with at home if they say they're just kidding. Oh. Eminem doesn't have no homeboys at home to deal with.
Oh, so it's serious. It's,
yes, serious.
Okay, well, that's what you guys can't... I mean, you guys, I say you people, I hope you know. Well, I mean you, your people. I mean you people. Well, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and so you have to go to your people, Gerald, and say, the white man has given me the message. Just say we're kidding, and, you know, Dr. Dre, I saw him in the front row as Eminem was collecting the Grammy for being the whitest man there. I don't know what it was. And he looked proud, and he saw dollar signs in his eyes.
Definitely.
And, you know what, I looked at that guy, and I said, Jesus, these cats. And that Fred Durst Limp Bizkit, how much money's he got, Craig? He freaking owns everything, man. They, you know, some things never change.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard to infiltrate rap. That's what I'm trying to tell
some
you.
Some underwear never changes. I'm just saying, as long as white, you know, most of the people buying it are white kids.
Yeah.
And if Eminem, you know, he's going to inspire another flock of white rappers. And while you may be correct because the culture's changed, that it's going to be black and I think it's going to be black and white, but I definitely think that it's mainstreaming, it's acceptable,
definitely.
And it's and whites helped make it that way.
Right, but I want you to just think of one thing. Sometimes when you see a white cat and he's hanging out with a bunch of cool black cats, then the white cats are going to go, okay, he's cool. They're not just going to buy a white guy who's out there and he doesn't seem like he's cool. I don't care what his rap sounds like.
Right. Well, I see a white guy hanging out with black guys, and I think burglars. So, listen, Gerald, thank you, pal.
I love you, bro.
All right, bye-bye. There's Gerald. Actually, that was Dr. Dre. Thanks for calling in, but he couldn't use his real name. There's John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
It's nice to talk to you.
We listen to you over here in work in Philly.
Thank you.
On 1210. We heard you a couple weeks ago with Smirkanish.
Yes.
You have to call that guy.
Mike Smirkanish. Nice guy.
Yeah, they interrupt you over here too much, though.
Well, they got me. What are they doing, Sixers or is it Phillies?
Well, Villanova, Sixers. Now, especially with the Phillies coming on, it's like, we don't know when we're going to get to hear you, so I think you need to call him again. And
Mike Smirkanish, okay.
Yeah,
and Mike, has he got some juice over there? Okay.
Yeah, tell him.
Am I on live tonight in Philly?
Yeah, you're on now.
Well,
yeah,
I know that you have Villanova basketball, Sixers, does it carry the Sixers too, and Phillies baseball?
Yeah, you pretty much name it, and they interrupt you for it. Even Frank Sinatra on Friday, but I don't even want to get into that. But
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
He's dead.
I can't stand the man, but
right.
they don't interrupt him though on Friday nights. Regardless.
Well, you don't want to interrupt the dead guy. I mean, it's amazing they just had the cat there. So what's up, John?
The cancer segment earlier. You know, you were kind of right.
It was rude.
It actually had me laughing at parts.
Really?
You know, with the skank bitch and the.
Yeah.
You can't help it. I mean, it is such a serious issue that. Sometimes some comic relief is good.
Skank bitch.
You know, when you're dirty squack and all that.
Yeah, that's you can thank my engineer, Craig Taylor, came up with that crusty
that's
squack.
Great one. I never heard that.
You
got to
write that down. It sounds so foul and it sounds so evil and it doesn't mean a damn thing. I bet you I'm going to get fined by the FCC for crusty squack. You said crusty squack. Well, what does it mean? It's got to be dirty. Well, John, thank you for that because we try whatever it is we're trying it, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, brother, thank you. So look at that. They're preempting us there for Villanova basketball, Sixers basketball, Phillies baseball, Frank Sinatra, the Krusty Squack Hour. It's all happening there. Look, we're going to take some more phone calls, but we only have a few seconds left in this hour, so let me just tell you, this is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You're allowed to call me this hour. Do this a couple times a week so we can get caught up on what's been happening with the show. Some of your feelings, your thoughts, and opinions about things that have been happening with our show. The number one rated Phil Hendry Show, Best of the Year 2000 CD, and our picture disc is available at 877-616-7445. And with this music, I'm starting to kind of puke a little bit. Can you hear it? You know, it's 7445, let's have that. So let me just turn that off so I can get real. 110 G's has been raised for the people at my friend's place. So that number again, 877-616-7445. And our number here, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I saw a bio. There's a bio that I have of me, and you can find it on our website, philhenryshow.com. It was reprinted on another website, and really what is true is that I traveled with my folks back to Canada when I was a kid, and during that long road trip, we went to visit my cousins and my grandparents and everybody live in Toronto. We went from Los Angeles to Toronto when I was five, and I got turned on to listening to the radio then. Well, on this bio that one of the radio stations has put up, Phil spent most of his youth traveling with his parents, transplanted Canadians, on long road trips. Now, there is a difference. The way I told it to you is we took a trip one summer. The way it came up on that site, it sounds like we're like itinerant farm workers. Phil spent most of his youth traveling from town to town, an itinerant clown. Working in road shows, circuses, cleaning up after an elephant, wearing a funny big nose. Phil and his parents, itinerant clowns and hobos. Oh, anyway, I'm not going to get too... I'm not upset about it. I thought it was... Didn't I laugh, Craig? Here is Jason on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, I just wanted to give you some sympathy with the whole Weight Watchers bit.
Are you doing that?
My wife suckered me into this, and I've been doing it for about 3 weeks. So I was cracking up the other day with the whole coming home after 10 points.
With the points?
And steak dinner and... Steak dinner and nobody home.
Hey, so how many points you got left for dinner, man?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've actually been doing pretty good. It's 7:30 where I'm at, and I just barely had dinner. But up to then, I only had 12 points, so I still got a nice. I still got a nice 12 left for the day. So I'm looking forward to something fat when I get home. You know?
See, people don't know what the hell we're talking about, but Weight Watchers put you on this point system. I get 33 points for the day, and every food has a certain point value. So, you know, like this morning, I made myself for lunch, I made like 4 bologna sandwiches, fat-free, with fat-free bread. And these bologna sandwiches, man, were like 2 points apiece.
That's
so
not
wait,
bad.
Let me see, how many did I have? I had 4 times 2, that's 8. So 33 minus 8, so that leaves me with 25 points. That's all I had to eat today. So I'm going to go home, and I'm going to have like a cow. I'm going to have a moose. I'm going to eat the garage. God, am I hungry. Don't you find,
well,
but you know what I'm talking
funny.
About.
It's funny because it changes your whole mind frame. All of a sudden you get to the end, and my wife and I are doing it together, so we've got like 4 points left. It's like, okay, what can I have? I can have 36 pretzels.
You got
to finish me off.
You know what's
and
cool?
You come up with the most insane bologna to finish off your points because you're starving.
You got to eat that fat-free bologna. You know what's cooler is popcorn. That's only like a point for those big bags.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the other thing that we eat is I just start eating the vegetables and crap. Now, Taylor here, what are you going to do, man? Carb-free? He thinks he's doing a no-carb diet. You won't be able to. First of all, when you try to crap a brick the first week, man. Am I right about that? Did you ever try that Atkins?
I never tried that.
Oh,
that didn't work for
it's
me.
All it is protein, and it's like you're bleeding from the rear end. You can't have a bowel movement, man. Forget it. It'll never happen. Do what we're doing, what Jason and I are doing. We can
That's
have
right.
the whole thing. But you know, man, with the green vegetables, you'll be cool. So, all right, Jason, thank you, brother.
Go out and have a brownie fudge cake, and you're done for the day. You just forget about it.
That's
the way to go.
Okay, brother, thanks. Goodbye. Hebrew National makes a beef hot dog that's only 1 point, and it's good, according to Melissa. It's got to be a fat-free turkey dog or something, right? Hebrew National is fantastic. And is it that kosher thing that they slaughter? So they're killing the chicken? What do? They counsel it first and kill it? All right, here is Herman on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Herman.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Good, man.
I was great to see you over at the block.
Yeah, that was fun that night.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I love your character so much. I was curious that do you know anybody in real life that inspired any of them? I mean, did they all just come out of your imagination? Or?
Name one, and I'll tell you.
Huh?
Name a character, I'll tell you who.
For instance, like Bobby Dooley, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's kind of partially based on my mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very kind of, you know, mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of, she's also based upon, there's a certain kind of suburban, forgive me, I don't mean to be, you know, cruel, but then I guess it's fun. There's a certain kind of suburban Los Angeles phone tree housewife activist, and you hear their monotone droning delivery on these news shows where they're talking about whether L.A., the valley should secede from L.A., and whether our schools should have more this, and it's a monotonous droning kind of voice. And I was driving to work one day, and I heard one of these women on the air, and our children are being hurt, and all of this crap, and I Well, that was an easy voice to do, and that's what that character's based on, really. Kind of a Stepford, freaky, my mother. How do you like my mother being in that mix, by the way, thing?
Oh, how do you like it? I don't know.
Well, you're tongue-tied now,
what
huh?
What about Lloyd Bonafide? We haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, we're going to have to get him on. Lloyd's just one of these elderly, I'd say pushing 70, but fit, kind of that lean, sinewy Korean War veteran with the big faded tattoo on the arm that he got on the ship. And he wears glasses now, and he's got that kind of 50s haircut.
And no monkey puts their hands on him.
No
right?
monkey put. Yeah, you don't ever put your hands on Lloyd because as a veteran, he's liable to rip your throat out with a salad fork. Okay, Herman?
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
man.
Brother. Thanks for calling. He's a good man. We got any women calling the Phil Henry show tonight, Mike? None? No women? All right. It's okay. We had one woman, and I think that's a record for us because women don't listen to this show, and they never will. As much as Melissa, every day, women love you. All of my friends at yoga. Well, you know, forget it. Okay, here's Paul on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Doing great. I wanted to tell you about, I'm a police officer, and I am parked behind a church, and I'm writing a report. And some of the units have AM, FM radios in it, so I'm picking you up. I got everybody on our station hooked on you. So I'm sitting here, and you happen to be doing, the pastor is doing the life-changing thing for the gay guy where you're hooking him up to electrodes.
Yeah.
And I'm writing this report, and this guy's going, and now we're hooking this up, and they hear the screaming.
Right.
And I am cracking up, and I look over to my left, and there is this old parish woman staring at me, wanting to report a break-in to a car that's in the parking lot.
And you're trying to write this report with my show on.
My own separate report. I'm oblivious to her, and she starts listening to you, and she goes, "Officer, is that coming from your radio?"
Right. Let me ask you something. Cops like this show. It doesn't matter what the city. When I was in Minneapolis, I had the 6 precinct guys. Miami, it was the Metro Dade guys. When I was in Atlanta, what is it about the show the cops like? Seriously, is it the sadistic part of it or what?
It is the acerbic, totally off the wall sense of humor.
Because you guys are
do things we cannot do.
That you wish you could do.
That I wish I could do, and I just can't tell you how many nights taking stupid, you know.
Hey, Paul, your car phone's going, brother. Is that a car phone or on the two-way?
No, here. I'm with you now, I think.
No, you're crapping out.
I'm in Big Bear now.
Well, that's what did it. You go to Big Bear.
Here.
Yeah, does a Big Bear crap in the woods? Your phone does. Okay, brother, thank you. Paul, thanks for those nice words, man. Thanks. Cops dig listening to this show. I'm not saying that I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I do know the cops like this show, and I think it's like he said, we say a lot of crap. You know, we screw with people. The cops have to deal with these people every day, these imbeciles. And so what we do on this show is we mess with them, you know, and we take advantage of them. And I can imagine a copper who sits out there morning, noon, and night having to write these stupid reports and crap, you know, digging it. I used to have this guy who was a private detective who listened to the show when I lived in the Twin Cities. And he sent me one of those squirrel phones, you know, where you turn it up.
And you can make the voice sound like you.
Because what he would do is he would call. He was a private eye, and he would call and try to get people to pay their bills, or he was doing divorce work. I don't know what. But late at night, he'd be sitting out in his car overhearing conversations on his two-way and then making phone calls with this squirrel voice thing to disguise himself. He sent me this phone. I don't know where it is, but it used to be a riot. I used to use it calling my friends.
Yeah, it's just making, hey, how you doing?
Who the hell is this?
I don't know. What do you think of you?
I don't know, but you sound really weird. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And The Sopranos this coming Sunday. It's their season premiere for season 3, and totally hooked on this show. And I watched the last one yesterday where, you know, Big Fat Pussy got shot on the boat. And they, you know, it's just great. Isn't it wonderful seeing, Italian-Americans, anyway. Here is Jackie. Hi, Jackie. You're on The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How about yourself?
Fine.
you said that women don't like this show. Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
well,
yes.
You're very sweet.
And like the previous caller, I think Bobby Julie is my absolute favorite.
Yeah, well, she's a psycho case, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. And well, I do know some people that are that.
See,
that
women that like this show, there's, you have to tell you this. Women that like our show, they're sick, sick, sick. You're sick.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And I've even got a sick friend. I hooked her on you.
Well, good. Okay, so you're all nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
So.
Keep doing it, babe. I appreciate that very much.
Keep it up.
Okay, Jackie, bye-bye. Here is Tom on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great.
I just wanted to tell you, you know, I've been listening to you probably for about a year now, and it's a lot of fun to go into work or to interact with people and say, hey, you got to listen to this guy named Phil Hendry on KFI.
Uh-huh.
And they go, you know, why? I said, well, because he interviews.
Why? We don't listen to the radio. It's on the AM dial, too. Why would we even go there?
That's right.
Yeah.
No. But they say, you know, why? And I said, because he interviews all these interesting cats. You know, you gotta hear this guy. And then I wait to see how long it takes him to figure out that you're doing the character.
They walk in the next day, they go, that guy's out of his mind, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. Who?
He had somebody on there wanting to track a kernel of corn to the sanitation system in Santa Rosa. What the hell is that?
That's right. That's right. And so you wait and you wait, and you know which guys to hang out with by the guys that catch on that you're doing the characters.
Hey, that's a very good... Tom has got a foolproof way of knowing which people to spend time with and which people to run away from.
Right. You weed out the morons.
Yeah. The guy says, hey, I got it already. And this guy's like on day six. I don't know. That person who was on there talking about eating his own face.
That's right. You stay away from those guys.
Perfect.
Know, if they don't catch on. Matter of fact, my son, my 17-year-old,
yeah.
I had a summer job for him. And so he rode back and forth to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept you on. Just to see how long it would take him to figure out that you were doing the characters. And the first couple of days, he's like, damn, Dad, this guy's nuts. Where does he get these people to interview? Why doesn't he take these people off the air?
Right.
And I'd say, well, you know, that's why I listen to him, because he's open-minded.
Yeah, he's sick. Yeah,
yeah, he listens
to... It's a wonderful country for sick people to have a job like this.
It took him about 3 days.
Did it? Took your son 3 days?
Yeah.
Okay, that's too long.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know what to tell you, Tom. You have to get that kid whipped into shape. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye. All right, what do we got here? Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's a pretty good idea, though. You can just say, hey, listen to this guy, Phil Hendry. Yeah, you know what's going on? No, I don't. Now, how long have you been listening? 6 months. Okay, you're fired. Get all your employees, have them listen to this show, and if inside of a week they ain't got what's going on, fire them all. Here's Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, I can't believe it.
How are you? How old are you?
I'm fine. I'm from Minnesota. Yeah, you betcha.
How old are you?
I'm up nifty 50 in April.
Really? Nice going, Mike. Go ahead.
Listen, where are you from in Hibbing? Or in Minnesota? I'm from Hibbing.
You're from Hibbing?
Yeah.
Don't know where that is.
It's 200 miles north of Minneapolis where you freeze your buns off.
Oh, I know. I was in Minneapolis for a year. Yeah, okay. That's Bob Dylan's from there.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, thanks a lot. Let's get something straight here. We got to not, you know, can't. Okay. Here is, in fact, let's not take any more calls. Now I'm depressed. 1-800-449-8686. That lady's very nice, but it just brought Minnesota rushing back. All right. Want to hear some music? I do. 1-800-449-8686, the number to the Phil Hendry Show. And if you're good, we'll do this again.
To your guest you got on there, I think you better have a little bit more respect for the man.
Wait a second!
No, wait a minute. You
he only won one Daytona 500, and Richard Petty won seven.
Let the man talk.
Give me the time to talk, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Give the man the respect that he deserves. I mean, he is, I think.
What, are you calling from under your bed? I can barely hear you.
Let the man, sir, are you on a car speakerphone or something?
No, I'm not. I'm on a regular phone.
No, you sound fine to me. He's fine.
All right, is that better?
Yes, it's much
Thank
better.
Thank you very much.
Sounds the same to me.
All right.
It's better.
He has earned more money, Earnhardt, than any other race driver, period. He has won more Daytona 500s than any other person. Period. The statistics are out.
Who did, Earnhardt or Petty?
No, Earnhardt.
Oh, he didn't win more. He won one Daytona 500. He won more races at Daytona.
Yeah, Phil, you set him straight.
He won more races.
At Daytona.
Yeah, Daytona, yeah.
But he didn't. He won one Daytona 500.
And Richard Petty won seven. so stick that in
I'm
your pipe.
I'm trying to tell you he's earned more money than Richard Petty ever earned.
Well, I don't know.
The tickets are out there, my friend.
Where are you
tickets
getting your
are there.
Where are you getting your information?
ESPN Sports.
Sports?
ESPN.
Say that again. I'm writing it down.
ESPN.
Spell it.
Too bad. Now, I'm just quoting you statistics, my friend.
Well, all right, you got it from ESPN.
Right.
Well, here's a statistic that you're going to have to be. You're going to have to take this one home with you. Richard Petty, 200 Winston Cup all-time career wins. Number one on the list.
Oh, man.
Oh, give me a break.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
No one wins and there's no denying. Don't pretend like you don't know why. Just a little word here, a little push there, darling. I confess, look at the best that I really am. Another boy who's given up trying. Blinded by fright, he screams, my life's not over, please get out. I know I'm young, I like to shout. It's not a joke, it's cards on the table time. No, it's not a joke, it's cards on the table time. And I could have phoned, I could have spoke, but I'd break the news without breaking your heart.
My door key don't fit no more, so get it on over.